You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to Kinda Funny's Batman in Review. That's right. We are ranking and reviewing every theatrically released Batman movie. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Andy Cortez.
My eyes become diamonds.
Greg Miller.
My eyes become large.
Kevin Coelho.
I don't know the song.
And Nick Scarpino.
My eyes become lightning.
It went from blinding to lightning so quick.
It's cool, man.
Lyrics to the song?
My eyes become wide. Isn't it wide?
No,
is it wide?
Large. It's
my
large.
Eyes become large and
hold on, I'll look it up right now.
So what just happened right now is Nick said, my eyes become lightning, and everybody laughed, and Greg said,
no,
it's my eyes become wide.
No, you're totally right. It's like, my eyes become large and the light that you shine can be seen. That's the lyric. That's why I thought it was large and light. I thought I said my eyes become lightning.
I thought Nick said my eyes become blinding.
No, he definitely said lightning the entire time.
God, all of that. What a song. What a journey we've all been here reviewing these Batman movies. I can't believe that we're finally at this point, that we've made it through these four, and it, God, is it great. I can't wait to move on.
I feel like we're growing as people.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm getting a lot more out of the Seal lyrics than I ever thought I would get before, because for the longest time I was like, what is the gray? It says a light hits the gloom on the gray. He keeps referring to the gray, and I still don't know what the gray is. But we're getting to the fucking heart of the gray, Tim. We're almost there. Done with Karate Kid Cobra Kai Season 2. We will figure out what the gray is together.
That's the thing, man. You know, we do a lot of podcasts within podcasts here. True crime podcasts are the biggest thing going on. So I feel like there needs to be a true crime podcast within podcasts. Getting to the bottom of the mystery of what is the gray. If anyone out there has any info, please let us know.
What is the gray?
What is
the only thing I can look at is it referring to a line at the beginning. There used to be a graying tower alone on the sea, but what is the gray? Is it the tower? Is it the ambiance? Is it gray inside of us, Greg?
The gray was inside of us all along, right next to the goo goo goo.
Goddamn, ladies and gentlemen, like I said,
movie sucks. Let's just get it from the
Batman
top. I want you all to know that I was basing my impressions of Batman and Robin when I saw it and when it fucking came out, and I was a little teenager, and I was like, man, that was an awful movie. And over the years, you've forgotten why you hate it. I would like to unequivocally say, the people who tried to tell me with a straight face that Batman v Superman was as bad, if not worse, as Batman and Robin, fuck off. This thing sucks.
Get them out, Greg. They suck. They don't know what they're talking about, Greg. This movie's garbage, dude. Oh my god.
Hold on. Batman v Superman was really bad, though. Like, if you think
fuck
about it.
Fuck off, Kevin. Fuck off. Stop being a character. Stop doing your devil.
It was really bad, though.
Don't talk to the devil.
It was really bad. You know, there's
Greg,
different kinds
real
of
talk,
bad.
Real talk. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think to myself, what would I rather watch again? Batman v Superman or Batman and Robin? And I gotta be honest with you, Greg, I think Batman and Robin needs one more viewing in the Scarpino household.
Well, that's your sign right there that it's terrible.
We're talking about Batman and Robin. This film was originally titled Batman Forever, but stylized as Batman Forever because it is the fourth film in the series. However, because the third film already used that title, it was retitled Batman and Robin, which was actually the original title for the third film, Batman Forever.
That makes way more sense.
It makes way more sense.
Greg, or Tim, it sounds like you're trying to explain people what games they could play on their Xbox Series S versus X and the upgrades and the, yeah, it's really confusing.
Really confusing.
A lot of confusing things about this. It's released on June 20th, 1997, directed once again by Joel Schumacher. According to John Glover, Joel Schumacher would sit on a crane with a megaphone and yell before each take, "Remember everyone, this is a cartoon."
Yeah.
It was hard to act because that kind of set the tone for the film. In later interviews, director Joel Schumacher blamed studio pressure to make the film more toyetic, which makes a lot of sense.
Of course.
I remember all the Arctic Batman toys.
That's my favorite Toyota SUV, the Toyetic.
That's a good one, Andy.
I know, Tim, I know what you're talking about, though. Yeah, all these sort of variants that came out from this movie that weren't even featured in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very cool.
This is the only film in the original Batman series in which Tim Burton had no involvement. He directed 89 and Returns and worked as producer on Returns and Forever. Budget of $160 million, 25 of which went straight into Arnold's pockets.
Yeah, it did.
$25 million.
I'm going to say that. I'm going to say this, and I mean it wholeheartedly. Arnold is the best part of this whole movie. Every time he's on screen, I think he's having so much fun that you just have to like him. $25 million to do how many puns did he do? Tim, did you pull that trivia point?
27 ice puns.
Ice puns. Fuck you, Greg. No, how many ice puns have you made in a single outing? None. Zero. Get on your ice pun gang, you fucking hack.
I'm a hack.
Here's what's up, Andy? Here's the thing. Like, sure, he did 27 ice puns, but you missed all the other non-ice puns. Like, for example, when Batman drops it and he says, "Nice to free to drop in." There's a lot of other puns that were not ice related, which I think we need to give him credit for.
There's tons.
Take two of these, man, and call me in the morning.
Take two of these. And because I'm like this. Wait, how, orally? Or do we inject it? Is there more?
Suppositories?
I need instructions.
Rave with these things? What the fuck do I do with these?
A box office of $238.2 million. Although considered a flop, a major flop, Batman and Robin was Warner Brothers' highest grossing film, both domestically and worldwide, in 1997. Due to the film's poor reception, Warner Brothers canceled the sequel, Batman Unchained. The Scarecrow would have been the main villain, and the Joker would return as a hallucination in Batman's mind caused by the Scarecrow's fear toxin. Harley Quinn appeared as a supporting character written as the Joker's daughter trying to kill Batman to avenge her father's death. The film would have depicted the Scarecrow and Harley Quinn teaming up to drive Batman insane and have him committed to Arkham Asylum. After their defeat, the film would have ended with Bruce Wayne traveling to Bali and entering a cave where he allows himself to be swarmed by bats to symbolize that he has conquered fear. Clooney, O'Donnell, okay, and Silverstone.
I was with you up until the end.
They were all set to reprise the roles of Batman, Robin, and Batgirl. Schumacher had also approached Nicolas Cage for the role of Scarecrow in Batman and Robin as a cameo appearance to set up an appearance in Batman Unchained before ultimately casting. You guys have a guess? Who was Scarecrow as a cameo in this movie?
Steve Harvey.
Coolio. No.
Coolio.
What?
Coolio in this movie was supposed to set up Scarecrow.
In this movie. I was like, is that fucking Coolio? There's like one shot of him, right?
He's
the banker.
I love it. Awards. Biker. The runtime of Biker. 2 hours and 5 minutes.
No, remember, she calls him the banker. Andy, if you ever fucking step to me again, I will fucking put you so far down in the ground.
Get him, Greg.
Fucking ice puns at you guys today, Andy. He's
from Atari. I hate this movie.
Ice to meet you, Andy. Good day.
good day.
One time,
2 hours and 5 minutes. In terms of awards, this is the first Batman major motion picture not to be nominated for any Academy Awards.
None.
One of the songs recorded for the film, "The End is the Beginning is the End" by the Smashing Pumpkins, won a Grammy for Best Hard Rock Performance at the 40th Annual Grammy Awards. So, okay.
Jen made me turn it off because she's like, "This song isn't good." And I was like, all right.
I like that song. You guys don't like
it? Won the Grammy.
That was fine. Smashing
Think I gave a damn
song.
About a Grammy?
It didn't fit well with this movie ending, and then it just started to play.
Wait, no, so credits are like, "Kiss from a Rose" felt fine?
No,
you were like,
"No, it didn't. It didn't."
This is the song that I need at the end of a Batman movie.
What can I fucking say? We were four in a row now. Just like, great.
This movie is so bad that Greg just served Tim up an Eminem lyric and Tim didn't even fucking flinch, dude. He didn't even look. Like, come on, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
so I have a strict policy of, like, you know how in improv it's yes and. When one of us makes a funny one, neither of us acknowledge it.
Neither does the audience. They just don't laugh.
Thread from the weekend that was like, Tim's comedic chops are underrated. Because on like PS I Love You, Tim kept serving me stuff and I just didn't get any of it.
Killing the game, killing the game. Speaking of killing the game, killing everything. God, this movie kills my vibe hard. Oh, but all these fucking movies suck. But here's the thing.
This not one, like this, though, this Tim. One, not like
no,
this.
No.
Though.
No,
not like this,
you're wrong.
Him.
You are wrong. This movie wrong. Is not much worse than the last movie. It's not. It's just simply not. Yeah, like, it's again commits to a tone, commits to the stupid cartoony shit. The villains, like what Nick was saying about Arnold, every time he's on screen, it's Ice. Funny. At least Uma Thurman, insane. It's funny. It's like I think that this that Forever has a couple things better than this. George Clooney looks and sounds like Batman. Looks and sounds like Bruce Wayne. Doesn't do anything Batman or Bruce Wayne like. No. It's annoying, actually. Val Kilmer, vastly superior in that sense. On top of that, great, let's just add more useless characters. Batgirl, get the fuck out of here.
Terrible.
She's not even
terrible.
In, she's not even in like half the movie. It's like, literally, we forget about her. She takes the motorcycle out. And it's just like she goes on a trip for like 3 months and then comes
Alfred
back.
Alfred like, gives her a CD and is like, just get this to my fucking brother. She's like, got it. And she immediately opens it. Like, I thought, I was like, I remember this. I'm like, man, how much more of this movie's left? She's getting the fucking thing. I know she eventually reads it and gets all the printouts on her face. No, immediately like, well, I'm family, and opens the fucking thing up.
But like, it takes two cutovers to her for her to like unlock it.
What's like, Wayne, brother?
One, Margaret. Two, three, four. No. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Tim, did you read that trivia about Alicia Silverstone, though?
I did. I have it here. Where is
so she
it?
Was supposed to be in the movie a lot more, apparently, but she had some like issues with costumes.
Yep. Most of the scenes with Batgirl were cut because Alicia Silverstone had gained a few pounds during production and the wardrobe team had to refit her costume. When the press discovered this news, they slammed Silverstone's weight gain and mocked the actress for being too fat to fit in her costume. The director publicly defended her during interviews and press meetings, joking, what is this girl's big sin, that she ate some pizza? When the taunting continued, Shoemaker lashed out. I don't know why I keep saying Shoemaker. Lashed out at the reporters that taunted her. That's probably why. He said in a magazine interview, it was horrible. I thought it was very cruel. She was a teenager who gained a few pounds, like all of us do at certain times. I would confront female journalists and I'd say, with so many young girls suffering from anorexia and bulimia, why are you crucifying this girl? That's fucked up.
Super fucked up, yeah.
Good on you, Joel Schumacher.
So why did they cut all these scenes out?
Because they just, I think they she didn't look good in them. I think that was the worry, that it was going to contribute more to like that bad, that negative vibe, and it just didn't work.
I will say this, like, nothing to do with obviously any of these issues.
Or at least that was their perception.
You were talking about George Clooney earlier, Tim, and how he kind of looks the part, but he just doesn't really do anything Bruce Wayne-ish or Batman-ish or whatever. I feel like every actor in this movie got substantially worse. And I think a lot of it was due in part to the fact that the ADR was so egregiously bad in this movie.
There was a lot of ADR in this movie.
There was so much ADR, and it was all so up front and in your face whenever somebody is talking. Like, the dialogue was right in the fucking front of the mix, and it just sounded so bad.
What, you didn't like Elle McPherson? Like, it sounded like someone else dubbed Elle McPherson, where she was talking. It was like, is that Julia Roberts' voice? Like, who is that? Also, why are they so intent on putting everyone opposite a blonde in this? Like, for a moment I was like, wait a minute, is Elle McPherson Nora Freeze? I don't know who are they. Look, the two actors,
they do look very similar,
because they're, by the way, both supermodels. One's Elle McPherson, the other one I think was, her name is Vandala something, but they were both like Sports Illustrated models back in the day. But I'm like, what? I'm like, you can't get just a little bit more diverse than like super blonde?
So some interesting facts about her, actually. First live action appearance by Julie Madison, who was created for the comics in 1939. She's best known as Batman and Bruce Wayne's first significant love interest. Yet somehow in these movies, she is the 7th, 8th, 10th? Who the fuck knows? At least this one, she's not dead like last. The whole point of the entire thing.
Yeah, Bruce just totally forgets her.
Shit out.
I'm not saying we got to get married, but I'm thinking that we got to. All right, cool. I'm going to never talk to you again throughout this movie. Thank you. Goodbye.
And a weird thing George Clooney said in an interview, the cast members were asked what item from filming they would like to take home. Arnold said he would be taking Mr. Freeze's armor home. Uma Thurman said she wanted Ivy's floral throne, which is badass. Elle McPherson said she just wanted a cap or something with the movie's logo before anyone else. And George Clooney said he wanted McPherson. It's like, Clooney, it's not a good thing to say.
You have to understand, George Clooney at this point was like barely a star. He was like ER. Everyone knew him from ER. I think he had done from like maybe From Dusk Till Dawn. I don't even think he'd done Out of Sight yet. And this movie was like, everyone was like, George Clooney, the guy from ER. Cool. Yeah, that's fine. And then I think this is the thing that like put him on the map.
Yeah, he went on record in interviews saying that like this is his break into Hollywood that like changed things for him. And then a last McPherson. Hold on,
no, I thought you were going to the other one, right? It's the fact. I remember back in the day where Clooney, like, again, you're talking about things that don't age well or play in 2020, but right, him being like, oh yeah, halfway through filming, I started playing Batman gay. Like he said that, and like that was a headline that got thrown around too. You're like,
oh, interesting.
What? Didn't like, what is that? Why? And I was watching it looking for any. I'm like, what does that mean to you, George? I don't understand what you're doing.
I will say though that there is not a whole lot of justice in this world where this was Clooney's break. Like the performance that he put on in this movie catapulted him to becoming a star.
Where it's like,
and in any other reality, this
is the end of his career.
Somebody's career.
Well, yeah. He made Uma Thurman also, because I don't think Uma Thurman was that really? Big of a deal either. But her performance was so. I mean, it was a big movie. It was a big movie.
But wasn't she big just, already? She had done like all of her Pulp, like biggest Pulp movies, Fictioner. Right?
She had done Pulp Fiction already, yeah.
Had she done Pulp Fiction? Yeah, she must have, because that was 94.
Yeah, Pulp, yeah. So yeah, I'm looking at her thing right now. The biggest thing I see before this, yeah, is Pulp Fiction. Yeah,
I thought this killed her career for a little while.
So it certainly killed Chris O'Donnell's
career.
About
her, a weird fact. Whenever I look at the trivia, there's always like, there's different sections of what the trivia is about. And some of it's just like weird coincidences of like actors and actresses. And this one's just a very bizarre thing. Uma Thurman and Elle McPherson both went on to have children by Arpad Busan, who refused to marry either of them. There's a lot of weird shit in that.
A lot of
real quick, did he make the Busan saying, coffee, what? Alec?
I don't know. It's spelled Busson.
Does he know what the gray is?
That's a good question.
On it? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. We'll have to figure that out later.
Here's the thing.
No.
We're not doing the fucking plot for this. Here's what I'm saying.
What? The plot for this
in my brain. This movie and Batman Forever are exactly the same. And you're watching them back to back, you can see that they tried to have a slightly darker tone and have it be a little bit more introverted with Bruce Wayne. But this one, to me, to put it in perspective, I had more fun watching this movie than I did Batman Forever, because I think this is the one where he's like, fuck it, full cartoon. We're not even going to try to put any depth in this whatsoever. It's going to be so outlandish that I'm not going to lie. Like, I actually... maybe for the first 30 minutes, I was like, oh, this is actually kind of fun going back and watching how absurd this movie is. But by the time they get Alicia Silverstone gets in her costume, and it's this big, wonderful moment where she's like, you know, Batgirl's finally the thing and the cowl and all these things and all these gratuitous shots of like crotches and butts that the movie starts with and ends with. And then 5 minutes later, she gets in a brand new costume. It's the ice costume. And you're like, fuck it. Why not? Like, right?
How many costumes did Alfred make her? It was no explanation. Like in the other ones, at least there was a reason they switched their
yeah,
costume. Right?
The sonar
no
costume.
Explanation fucking here at all. They're all in new costumes. And then when they come back to the cave, Robin's in his old costume. It's like, what fucking got cut and edited out here? And what, like, what the fuck is going on?
I don't know.
I hate the costumes in this one. I hate the Batmobile in this one. Like, and that's coming from me. This
Andy
Batmobile
hit this,
is the
Andy
most...
hit it.
Suits. Right? I don't fucking care, dude.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast within a podcast within a podcast within a podcast, where we rank all the suits, we rank all the things, we rank all the stuff, we rank all the doobadoobos. Now, Tim, where do you want to start? You want to start with the suits? We got the suits up.
Yeah, the suits are up, so we can start there. Like, guys, who wants to start this off?
I said this on the episode of the KF podcast when we first ranked the suits, the predecessor, if you will, that the upgraded version, the Frost version of the Batsuit, is the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Hold on.
This is something that I would have designed as a kid as a Batman variant. Like me sketching in my comics and being like, oh, I would love if Batman had something like this. That's exactly what it would look like, with all the extra silver segments on his arms and his bicep. Like, it looks fucking god awful. But the Robin variant, the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen.
You
in
just
my
love
life.
Robin, Eddie, and I appreciate your commitment to the Robin suit.
It's the idea that the suit looks cool as shit, that Robin suit has always looked cool to me, especially when they do the sort of the Nightwing variant or whatever with the red and black. And then the idea.
God damn it. It's also that it took him like 20 more seconds than it should have for this.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Rockin' Robin, this podcast within a podcast within a pocket. Why did I stop the song? Where we rank the suits of Robin in the cinematic thing, but we were talking about the bat suits. Can we get the Robin suits up, Kevin?
I'm looking for them, but they're not as available.
Oh, God, it's so much stuff. So many segments. Andy, where do you want to rank the Robin suits that we have in this film? Right now, remember, Robin suits are ranked number one, the Batman Forever Robin suit. The number two is Robin 1966. So where do you want to put Red Robin from this one? Just the straight up black with the Red Robin.
That's number one. The Red Robin is it's a cool ass variant. Again, I love the simplicity but sleekness of the mask. It's always looked really, really cool to me, just the sort of eye covering thing. And then we get the silver variant. I know we're not ranking that, but I think it's just
We have to rank it. Any suit that's worn, we have to rank. So that's what I want to say right here for you, Andy Cortez, is again on the Kind of Funny podcast. I think we all shat all over you. We opened our anuses and went
Jesus Christ,
and just shit all over your face. You know what I mean? About this Robin thing. I got to agree with you too. Red Robin suit is number one. It's better than their comic book variant from Batman Forever, which in itself was cool.
And then just the silver looks awesome to me. Like the fact that it was a silver mask as well. Like imagine Andy, who loves the Mega Man X suit variants, experiencing that, right? Building upon like the Mega Man like standard blue suit and getting all the cool ad and seeing this is like a dream come true. It's a cool
So then so is Batman and Robin's ice variant for Robin number two right behind it?
Yeah, right behind
I agree.
Nice job, Andy.
That was good, Nick. That was good. You're doing your job.
I'm on point. Sorry, back to the bat suits.
Can we just for back a second talk suits, about man. How cool the fin looks? I know that there's two tones to it, but I just think that like the helmet is the coolest we've had far.
It's terrible. It's awful.
What do you think about the silver one?
I like the ears. Like what's going on with the ears?
The whole point of the suits was that I'm going to put another suit on. This is going to be the cold suit, the Arctic suit, right? Mm-hmm. And all that they had, this one had, were some hand warmers. You know the glove warmers, Greg, when you put them in, or like the ones that dry your boots. That's basically all they had. In this, that's the whole point of this. I thought he was going to get hit with ice when I saw this originally, and it was going to like repel the ice.
Yeah, he's not on my watch.
And my favorite thing too is like these Arctic suits, right? Like they're not even the ones where they use the ice skates. Like those are just the normal suits.
Those are ice skates,
just in case they need to play hockey.
The moment where they click their heels,
I just don't understand what's happening on the arms there. Like it's. This George Clooney suit is an abomination, man.
It looks like tribal tattoos.
It's one of those things where if you walked out, Andy, and you were on the precipice of becoming a huge Hollywood star and you saw this suit, would you be like, no.
This is it. I'm done.
This is going to kill my career.
I don't have a chance. Greg, I was making an observation, and I feel like you might be the only one that understands this.
Kevin, can I get a shot of just me and Andy?
No.
Fuck. Can everybody else turn off their camera?
Do it in your brain. Okay.
Hold on. Yeah. No.
Sure, I'll do it right now.
No, I can't.
Kevin's going to figure this out. Kevin's
figuring it out. All right. Hold on.
It's the scene. Andy,
I need you to hold it. I need you to hold it.
Hold on. I'll fill time.
Okay. Oh, great. Thank you.
You're right, though, Andy. The Robin suit is dope.
It's awesome.
There you go. See, what's up, everybody? I was filling time with the Rockin' Robin song. Andy, what did you want to say to this? Kevin's got it good enough.
This is good enough, Kevin. This is good enough. I like kind of having Kevin's face in there. Because, you know, Kevin might understand it too. Kevin, get your face a little bit in here, like 25%.
There it is. That's perfect. That's perfect, Kevin.
Perfect. All right. The scene where the evil scientist is working on Bane.
John Glover. Shout out to John Glover, voice of the Riddler in the animated series. Lionel Luthor in Smallville, Clamp in Gremlins 2.
Look, his vibe, the whole vibe of that scene, the darkness of it, injecting venom into Bane, selling this off or whatever, Bane getting crazy. Think of that scene. Think of the scene where Poison Ivy is created, right? She falls to the ground. She comes back out. All of these scenes really reminded me of Borderlands cutscenes.
Okay.
Am I off with this?
Sure.
I didn't get that before, but I can see that. Yeah. Imagine the introduction of John Glover, and it was like, Dr. Jason Woodrow. Exactly. He fucking is a psycho or whatever.
Exactly. Like, and not only what was happening on screen, but just the cartoony nature of it all, where, you know, Borderlands is a very kind of, it's a game that doesn't really take itself too serious with its humor and what it does. So the idea of these, like, silly ass villains acting cartoony, it just reminded me so much of a Borderlands cutscene. And there's so many other moments, even with you know, Mr. Freeze in the wherever they were with the ice skating sequence, like all that bullshit just reminds me of Borderlands, man.
Sure, I can see it. I can see it.
Kev, can you bring up the thing I sent to Assets, the picture of Robin?
Hold on. Please. Are we doing this thing where like we don't do the plot if Greg doesn't like the movie? Is that what we're doing?
I don't like that.
No, it's,
plot.
I mean, when we fuck around, like we all have stuff to say. Sometimes I don't think you have to worry about it as much.
Oh, that's cool.
God, look at that. See,
that would have been my number one. That's just too damn cool. I don't know, I'm biased, but still.
If you're an audio listener, it's Chris O'Donnell in his Red Robin suit, but they turn the Red Robin blue in like Nightwing, and then it's this jet black suit, and there's no cape, so it looks like Nightwing.
I wish people cared about these movies more. Like, I wish there was a moment where when he goes off to do it on his own, he's like, now the suit's blue because I like blue, or something, you know?
I just want to know what machine makes these suits so quickly.
Yeah.
And where no, where
it's,
is that
it's Alfred, right? He it's sits Alfred. There stitching.
Is it a
3D printer? More than that, though, he's also a dope ass like graphic designer. Like, he comes up when this movie starts and we get the Batman logo. Yeah. No, and you're right, Nick. You're right. It's not. But when it has the Batman logo and then it has the Robin logo and they're together and like they're like they're Batman and Robin now, it's like, all right,
what
cool.
About
but
then Robin Batgirl gets introduced. Motorcycles through a fucking wall and the Robin signals punched right into the goddamn wall perfectly.
Yeah. what about the part where
more destruction being caused by the Dark Knight and his ward?
What about
the Batgirl? And he's just like, oh, don't worry, I've been thinking about this for a while. Like, she has her logo ready. It's just a skinnier bat, but hey, it's different. It's like, what the fuck? Why this? It's just so weird. And I get it. Why am I questioning the logic in this movie of any movie? But it's still it's comical. It makes me laugh, the commitment that they have to not making sense.
Guys, remember, we're still in best bat suit of the podcast within a podcast within the podcast. Number one is Phantasm. Number two is Batman Returns. Number three is Batman Forever Normal. Number four is 89 Batman. Number five is Sonar Suit Batman Forever. Number six is 66 Batman. And right now, number seven is Batman and Robin Ice. We still need to put the just normal George Clooney I Have Nipples suit.
I gotta look at it.
Yeah.
I'm just pull it up one more time, Kevin. Yeah, just normal. Type in George Clooney nipples.
So much of it is that George Clooney is iconic, obviously. You know what I mean? ER, the Ocean's movies, that Nespresso ad he does with Danny DeVito. Yeah. But this looks like he's just in a Batman suit. Like, and there's a part where he's talking and like it's hanging loose around his jaw too. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong, I still don't think it's as bad as Sonar Suit Batman Forever, which is what puts me into a weird spot. Because I think I would have put 66 above this, but the way we have the rankings already, I need to vote it at number 5 above Sonar Suit Batman, below 89 Batman.
I feel like in this movie, with how things were shot, we had a lot more of the torso turns instead of just the head turns. Because I felt like we regressed in the suit cowl technology, and it became less flexible, making it harder for him to be a fantastic actor like we know he is.
Normal suit, though, is actually, I think we're downplaying the normal suit, though, because
that's what we're talking about.
It's kind of cool.
I hate how shiny it is. It's like, and that's, we'll get to the Batmobile in a second. No, I didn't. I hate that. It's be in the shadows and hide. Matte. It should be matte black.
Yeah,
it
but
should
I think,
never
I think
be shiny.
Once they decided to go crazy colorful cartoon with it, I think it was an actual interesting, I think it was a strong choice for them to make because it actually reflects light a little bit more.
When they decided to go colorful cartoon, they did that in the first one. Well, these are all cartoons, man.
No, I mean, like Joel Schumacher decided to take it to a different level with Forever, and then this is just like on steroids. I mean, everything is just... There's only one place apparently in all of Gotham City where there isn't colored gobo lights happening everywhere, and that's Wayne Manor. That's the only place where normal lighting exists in Gotham. Everywhere else, it's like when you walk into a ballroom and it doesn't have blinding gobos hitting your eyeballs, people are like, you're not in fucking Gotham.
This ain't Gotham.
Is some bullshit Metropolis shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like if we took both these movies, Forever and Batman and Robin, and cut them randomly, scene by scene, if every scene on the DVD was just interspaced randomly with each other, it wouldn't feel any different.
I think this one probably would. I think you could probably. I don't know who lit and shot this one, but.
I guess, lighting and aesthetics aside, I feel like Batman Forever obviously went a pretty cartoony route. And then they came to a crossroads and said, do we back off of that or do we
turn up to 11?
We turn it to 11 down on this, and they went so hard into it, and I think the movie just got worse and worse because of it. I understand where you're coming from. Like they are committing to this silly ass nature of the movie, but just because they're committing to it doesn't mean it's good or entertaining.
Oh no, like, I'm not saying it is. I think they both committed equally and they both suck. But it's like, what about this has turned up to 11 that wasn't in Forever? Forever had Riddler and Two-Face next to each other, like laughing. It had the Batmobile turning and going up a building.
Are we talking about the suit still or?
No.
Are we still, have not ranked the Clooney.
Okay.
I think the Clooney suit is not that it goes bad. At number five.
Where is that, above and below?
Below 89, above Sonar Suit from Forever.
Greg, is this where you're talking about the neck where it like lifts, like it's loose? Wait, who said that? Someone said that, right?
I had said that. I was talking about it in, I guess so, but it's like in the movie, he moves his head. And there's like a scene where it's all like gaping.
I think the more interesting thing to rank, though, is where George Clooney is as Batman, because I love George Clooney and I will always love George Clooney, but he made zero effort to be different as Bruce Wayne. And then
what's up, everybody? Welcome to Ragu Bad Guys, where rad guys talk bad guys. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller. This is a podcast within a podcast within a podcast. Right now, the rankings for the Batman are number one, 89, Michael Keaton. Number two, Jeez. Phantasm, Kevin Conroy. Number three, Batman Returns, Keaton. Number four, Batman Forever, Kilmer. Number five, 66, Adam West. We are ranking George Clooney's Batman when he's in the bat
suit. Hi, freeze. I'm Batman. Here's my American Express Batman Forever.
Dead last. Dead last.
I think the last two. And this is no disrespect to Clooney. I love George Clooney. He just did not try at all to distinguish at anything. And at any point you take him from one scene to another, he is exactly the same emotional level the entire movie.
Nick, don't be afraid to say, like, no disrespect, like, full disrespect. He just didn't try, man. Like, it's not just, I don't know. I think sometimes you can tell when an actor is just getting bad direction and what to do. But it feels like in this movie, maybe he was frustrated by what he was given by Schumacher and just said, I don't care anymore. I don't fuck it. Like, so many of the lines he was given had zero emotion, zero care to it. It was all terrible.
It sucks.
My argument is George Clooney looks and sounds so good that it's like he doesn't need to care. And he's still better than Michael Keaton. You guys are insane. And it's like, he sucks in this as Batman, and he sucks in this as Bruce Wayne. Val Kilmer's number one. This list is ridiculous.
You're crazy.
But I would put Val Kilmer and then Clooney. So I guess I agree. Clooney's last on this list.
Dead last, Batman and Robin, George Clooney. But it leads us to a very interesting argument we haven't had on the podcast within a podcast within a podcast. Andy, hit the new song.
Of what?
Hey, just hit it. Hit a fucking song, Andy.
Song. New.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Ragu Booah. This is where rad guys talk Bruce Waynes. We haven't been ranking the Bruce Waynes. We've been ranking the Batmans. We haven't been ranking the Bruce Waynes. I got to tell you, here's what I'll say. And if you don't want to actually do it, Nick, because you're a wet blanket, I know you got to get to your lacrosse meeting right after this. God forbid you talk about the fucking film.
There are important issues on the target.
What I'll bring up here is that, I think George Clooney's not good as Batman, but his Bruce Wayne has at least a little bit of dimension, and I don't think it's the right amount. But he's charming. I like his relationship with Alfred, where he tells him I love you and like puts his head on him, and like Alfred calls him their son. We had a whole different conversation when we get to Ragu Alpha before we rank the Alfreds. I mean, we got a lot of things going on here. But I thought, you know, George Clooney's Bruce was. This is the problem, of course, is that we've been brought up, and I think obviously the way you would expect it to be for most times is that Batman is Batman and Bruce Wayne's the mask, whereas George Clooney is just George Clooney throughout this, but George Clooney actually acts as a decent Bruce Wayne. Yes, go ahead, Andy Cortez.
The only reason why I would have George Clooney much lower on the list, the hair. Like he still has the short ER hair.
Yeah,
I want awesome. Parted to the side, longer Val Kilmer style, even animated Batman. Like it's the short sort of nature of George Clooney's hair that's always been like the Clooney style. That's always been Tim back in the day. Tim, let me tell you about this George Clooney character. He was coming up in ER, and he just combed his hair straight to the front, and it was very, very, very.
Everyone short. Did it, and when it was we saw it, we all did it.
It was called the Clooney, and everybody wanted the Clooney. The Clooney shouldn't be on Bruce Wayne's head.
But see, I feel like he is so iconically this playboy badass Bruce Wayne that like modern Bruce Wayne, Greg, looks more like this, right? Like he has the shorter hair, like in the comic run from the New 52. Like Bruce Wayne looks more like
back from the dead or whatever.
Yeah, he looks more like Clooney, hair wise, at least.
I feel like he's still got a part most of the time.
Yeah, I think Bruce Wayne's always got, you got to have a little bit longer up top, parted to the side. Yeah, like the Greg Miller, like Greg Miller is the Bruce Wayne hair.
I think the more pressing question is, why is Greg constantly mispronouncing his name with a French accent? George Clooney? Why do you keep saying that, Greg?
George. Soft G. You need that soft G.
No, I love George Clooney. He's impossible not to like. He's so devilishly charming that you can't not like him in this. I think Tim's right, or whoever made that point was right, that at a certain point he was just like, maybe it was like day five, and he's like, this is going to be a fucking nightmare. I'm just going to play this like me and have fun with it, and then just move on with my career and hope it doesn't, you know, I'll move on to Out of Sight or whatever the hell I'm going to do next. Ocean's 11. Pretty much it.
Yeah, Val Kilmer was asked if he wanted to play Batman again, but by his own admission and due to his commitment with The Saint from 1997, he was not interested. After experiencing difficulties working with Kilmer on Batman Forever, Joel Schumacher was insistent that the actor not return for the fourth film in the franchise. So that worked out. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
This was, this is sad too, because I feel like the studios pushed Joel Schumacher into this, into wanting it to be more like a cartoon. And it ruined it. And, you know, I shout out to Joel Schumacher for taking full responsibility for this and being like, I'm the director. This is what happened. I made this movie. It's no one else's fault. It's not like, I don't know. It's the fact that at some point, who wrote this? I think it was, I forget who the writer was, but people were giving him shit too. I was like, no, he came up with McGregor syndrome, and that Alfred had McGregor syndrome, and that Mr. Freeze could cure him. That's dumb.
Alfred being dumb, dying is dumb. He's dying of the same thing that Nora was dying from.
A very rare disease. They point out how rare it is.
And, so rare. And he had the cure first when it's in its early stages. Like, cool.
On his body. He had the cure.
Well, he likes carrying it. When you figure that kind of thing out, like, you're ready to go at any time.
Until you can get a copyright, you don't want to just give that up to anybody. Right, you know what I mean? Because if Big Pharma gets it, then we're going to be paying thousands of dollars for one vial.
Not only are there a lot of weird ass things happening with Alfred, like anytime they cut to him, and he's like it's just all so bad.
He's dying.
His lungs are filling with water.
Well, is that what it is? Is that what
McGregor did? Yeah.
But
wait, is it a real thing?
No.
Science
with Kevin.
It's not a real thing. It's a thing they made up.
Okay. Thank you. Well, one of my favorite sequences is Alicia Silverstone talking to Robin and saying, you know what? I hate him being here. This life of servitude, blah, blah, blah. This master, blah, blah, blah thing is just, it's not for him. He hates it here. And Robin's like, what do you mean? He loves it here. We're his family. And then she goes, he's sick. He just won't tell you. And he's like, he's sick? And out of nowhere, Bruce Wayne goes, he's dying.
He's dying.
The whole time, Bruce Wayne is just sitting there watching this interaction.
But then here's how he knows. But then here's what the explanation is. Bruce Wayne goes, yeah, he's dying. He's like, what? Why wouldn't he tell us? And he goes, oh, he hasn't. I could just tell. That's how the sequence works.
I mean, he's the world's best detective. Like, you know, like obviously he's so gonna funny, know. Dude.
I was laughing in my bed watching. Like, I was like, wow, this is truly, truly bad stuff right here.
Welcome to Ragu Alf, where we rank the Alfreds in the universe. Right now, we have number one, Phantasm. Number two, Batman Forever, Alfred. Number three, 89, Alfred. Number four, Batman Returns. Number 66, Alfred. What did we think of the performance of Batman and Robin's Alfred? His biggest role to date biggest for Michael role,
for sure.
He's got to stop telling people. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, stop. Stop
now,
creating.
Now, remember, this time he was trying to, if you don't remember, of course, Alfred Pennyworth in this Batman universe comes from a long line of servants. That is all they're allowed to do. And so he doesn't tell a random person this time. He's trying to tell his brother, part of the Maharaji's court, that is constantly traveling through India. So he didn't give it away to just anybody. He gave it away to his brother, who would understand. Maj, it's a big deal hanging with you, but I gotta go. Batman and Robin need me. Mm-hmm. They're the protectors of Gotham City.
Except for the fact that, like, he was totally prepared for Alicia Silverstone to figure it out. Like, so much so that the AI computer he programmed was ready to go. I'm like, oh, hey.
I thought you might do this.
Yeah.
But I like how they still keep, like, the 80s, like, Pepsi commercial guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
80s.
So stupid.
This is the only film in the original series in which none of the villains learn Bruce Wayne's identity as Batman. Batman tells the Joker in 89 his identity of Bruce Wayne. Catwoman and Penguin see Batman Unmasked and Returns, and the Riddler and Two-Face read Bruce Wayne's mind in Batman Forever. That's right. But neither Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, nor Bane uncover the we haven't even talked about Bane. uncovers the identities of Batman, Robin, or Batgirl. As of 2015, this is the only Batman film in which Bruce Wayne's love interest does not learn he is secretly Batman.
Can we take a step back, though? Because I do want to call attention to a couple things before I forget.
Got
to
rank Alf.
Fine, dead last. I was hoping he'd die by about 45 minutes. I was like, just fucking die. Like, can we bring in someone, another character into this? That actually, Jesus Christ, man, McGregor syndrome, whatever. When she hacks the computer for the first time, the graphics of what happened on screen is what I one day hope when we eventually get the new studio, Tim, that when we walk in, I enter the code Tim, T-I-M. And then all of a sudden, just our faces. It was just like bad
clip art is going all over.
Loading up the thing.
3D, like renderings.
What program did he use to make these motion graphics for this intro?
But Nick, also the idea that it did the perfect 90s thing of let's project these images on their face to show them what they're looking at. I love when movies do that shit. I fucking love that thing, dude.
That got a laugh out loud. And then the other thing, the other shot in this movie that always gets me is there's a moment where they're fighting Poison Ivy and Robin's in the water and he comes out of the water.
Oh my God.
And then they just were like, we need to beat him being pulled back in. So they just rewind the footage. And then it's
so
the same
bad.
Shot when he does. Like, then he comes out of the water again and it's the same shot. They didn't even use a different take of him coming out of the water.
How is that in this movie?
I don't know. That is one of the most bizarre things.
How is anything Robin does in this movie?
There's a moment where he just screams at Bruce Wayne because Bruce was like, your motorcycle can't make
jumps.
I can make it. Ah! And then he gets all, and then he screams at him in goo. He's covered in goo, and they're like, want the same screen as before. So he's like,
That goo, I think, is ice cream. I've always really enjoyed that scene.
Oh, well, that does make it a little bit more fun.
I will say this. They definitely, you know, could have built out a bit more of that resentment in Robin, because again, like in just like in Forever did, where Robin kisses that random girl after he stole the Batmobile,
and then Batman gets there
and he starts fighting Batman immediately, and he just turns on a dime. Kind of the same thing here, where, you know, I guess leave it to the viewer's imagination, where maybe there's been years of Robin feeling like he's just kind of second fiddle to Batman, which, like,
I mean,
first off,
sense.
You are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why you're expecting when he goes, it's not, it should be Robin and Batman. Like, what, like, all of this relationship is just developed so terribly, and they expect it to be good and for us to care. And it's just not, dude. It's just not. So
it's scary. It's scary how bad it is, man. Almost as scary as Halloween, ladies and gentlemen. This episode is brought to you by HBO Max. As we all know, Halloween's going to look a little different this year as we continue to adhere to social distancing guidelines. But you can still keep the Halloween spirit alive, and that's why we've partnered with HBO Max this Halloween season. HBO Max has many classic Halloween films now streaming, like The Haunting, Night of the Living Dead, and The Curse of Frankenstein. Also, they got The Invisible Man, which was a fantastic movie that came out this year. Now, that's scary to think about. Ready or Not, It Chapter 2, all of them are on HBO via HBO Max. HBO Max has so many Halloween films now streaming, from bone-chilling scares to family favorite moments. Check out their extensive library of hit horror movies. If you have the guts to stream this holiday season, sign up for your 7-day free trial on HBO Max by heading to bit.ly/HBO Max kinda. That's bit.ly/HBO Max kinda. bit.ly/HBO Max kinda. Check it out. Exciting stuff. And also, thank you guys for sponsoring us. That's pretty cool. And also, thank you to Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone's looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you are still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online platform that knows that you're more than just a credit score. Now it's time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or diploma to apply. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. One of my really good friends recently did this, and it just made it a lot easier for him to wrap his head around getting everything paid off, and it helped him out a lot. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/morning to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/morning. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. That's upstart.com/morning. Back to it. A pack of the wheat.
I can't wait to watch Witches, you know what I mean?
Oh, I just watched Scanners last night on HBO Max.
Was that just a Bane groan?
Okay, let's talk about Bane.
Shout out to Bane being just in the in costumes. And like that's the commitment to this movie that I appreciate, where they're just like, nobody cares. This shit's fucking stupid. Let's put him in a trench coat.
When they're like, oh, these giant gorilla. These people sneaked into like the airport or something, and it's just the picture of like the was it inspired by Gone with the Wind?
I have no idea, but it's like they're like we found this exclusive security photo. It's a perfect photo of just the two of them getting off a plane. You're like, fucking, these guys stick out like a sore thumb. This guy's in a full luchador mask with a fedora and a trench coat for no reason. And then we cut into the car, and I think this is how dumb Joel Schumacher assumes the audience is. They were like, if we don't show Uma Thurman putting a wig on, they won't know it's the same person that they saw with the red hair. So she like takes 15 seconds to just put this wig on, and I'm like, okay, cool. And then we get her in the red hair, which begs the question, Andy, which one is the real wig?
Oh, wow.
Is just it like a wig? I don't know. Wigging out with Scarpino.
Thank you to Greg Miller for getting some sleep last night and picking up on my cues. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wigging Out with Nick Scarpino, a podcast and a podcast within Greg's podcast.
Well, I want you all to know you're in the Greg Miller Podcast Network, and I will be charging you 15 cents for being
that there. Is fine, because we are in an inception. I'm not quite sure how many levels we've gone through. What's going on? There are certain wigs that Uma Thurman wears in this that look okay. And then there are some costume choices that don't look good, namely the two boobs on her head, the two like cones. That's horrible.
Did that do it for you?
No, that did not do it for me. And then there's a moment where she's wearing green gloves, but they painted the nails on the gloves.
Those look
so creepy.
Now, they're guys, also like not look, the right size.
It no, sounds like we like disagree. All of us disagree, but
do we have another
according to Joey and Gia, the secret to light, Gotham's finest, are the head boobs.
Oh, the head boobs are
both the girls were thrilled. They loved them. Hey, I'm just delivering the message.
No, the secret to light is the gorilla dance. I don't know why that did so much for me as a little kid, but it did.
By the way, the secret delight should be how many times Uma Thurman decides to use a different accent as Poison Ivy. Because it starts one way, and then at one point it's British, and then at one point it's the Princess Leia from the beginning of New Hope, and then eventually it goes down, well, see, ha, we're bad, see? And then it's back to Uma Thurman.
What are your thoughts on Vivica A. Fox's cameo?
Just a quick. I mean, the cameos in this are great.
Hey, Mr. Freeze, fuck me. I don't want to fuck you. I have a wife who's frozen. Okay, I'll be waiting though to fuck you. All right, bye.
Can we talk about the most important cameo in this movie?
Are you talking about Jesse the Body Ventura as one of the security guards? Because that's amazing.
No, I'm talking about the cameo related to you.
Oh yeah, we can talk about that. Yeah, we couldn't find it. Okay, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but my wife was a professional dancer for a long time in LA, and she's actually in that. She's one of the dancers in the scene where Poison Ivy shows up, but we could not find her for the life of us last night because she couldn't remember what she was, and I was so mad. I was like, are you the parakeet? And she's like, I could have been the parakeet. I was like, how do you not remember? How do you not know?
There was one time we were at Nick's house, and we literally rented Batman and Robin and spent an hour going like frame by frame.
And it wasn't easy to rent it, right? Because we had to like rent it on his PS – or no, we had to get like Amazon on his PlayStation. And it was like way too many steps.
We went through.
But I keep asking her. I was like, "So wait, you were on set with all of them?" She's like, "Yeah." I was like, "Was that not?" So I was like, "Do you understand that this movie came out in what 97, 98?
97.
A 17-year-old Nick, I would have killed to have been on a Batman set, even though I knew by then we knew this movie was going to be utter garbage. But the fact of the matter is, she was like, "Yeah, we did a couple of days of shooting, and it was like George Clooney was there." Uma Thurman was there, and I was like, that's so fucking cool. I can't stand it.
That's awesome. Where were we? We were ranking something.
There's no ranking to Secret Delights. We just shout them out and you get them listed here. So they've been listed. They've been put down for the record. Don't worry about it.
Good, yeah. Good. I started talking about the Batmobile in the beginning of this, and here we are an hour later.
Within a podcast, we ranked the Batmobiles. Right now, it's number one, 1989 Batmobile. Number two, Phantasm's Batmobile. Number three, Batman Returns. We didn't like the luge. Number four is 66 Batmobile. And then Batman Forever, I hate it, said Kevin. That's number five. That's dead last. But see, this is the new dead last, right?
That's the thing that's hard for me. It's like, this Batmobile sucks. It looks like a Tim Gettys fever dream of just fashion over function way too much. Why is there neon lights? Why is there so many logos? Like, it's ridiculous. But at least it doesn't look like a dildo. Like, I put this one above Forever's. Because Forever's is like, it makes me uncomfortable to look at.
Well, I mean, this one could be, I mean...
Does this one not
be a dildo?
This looks like you wouldn't want to put this in your butt. That's going to tear stuff
up. I never
saw
Batman Forever's as a dildo. Hold on, I'm looking at them both right now. Batman Forever's.
I'm trying to find an image with a lot of them.
Yeah, that's going to be tough, I bet, for you. Not for you. I mean, in general. that's going to be tough for you. I feel like sucks because like it's got no canopy. He's completely fucking exposed. I have to explain it. That's Batman Forever. It's got no canopy. It's got the cool engine, like spinny thing in the front. But yeah, this still looks like a dildo if your definition of a dildo is just the dildo. But it's got no canopy, so it's got no protection. It's a one-seater.
Like, what is your definition of a dildo?
How do you drive people?
It's the first one that's a one-seater, too, that we've seen, right?
Yeah. I hate this one. I think this is dead last. And I didn't like Batman Forever's either.
I do like the lights, though.
One-seater's cool, though. I think that's makes it's more sense practical. For a Batmobile.
It's just one of those things more practical.
Why do these things so big?
A movie called Batman and Robin.
Robin has his own stupid little motorcycle,
and it gets broken all the time. He needs help.
The question is, why does it need to? If it's a one seater, why does it need to be that big? It doesn't need to be a.
It's got to be like a tank.
Oh, Nick cut off.
Nick, you're frozen. If you can hear us, you're gone. This is actually pretty. Look at the image I found. Granted, I'm going to take a few spoilers out of it. But putting them all side to side like this, I think the. What is this? Batman Forever one is the ugliest. And
Batman and Robin. I think Batman and Robin looks cooler.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a little bit wider. It's not practical. I want 100% agree with that.
As long as I'm on the record saying it's not practical, I can admit it's cooler.
And then, like, you have to mentally put the cartoon one in here, because the cartoon one definitely is still first in my book.
Sure. But it sounds like we're leaning to put this at number four, below the 66 Batmobile, above Batman Forever.
Damn, no. I think
this is cooler than the 66.
Yeah, I think this is cooler than the 66 also.
I don't either. Nick, you have to be the deciding vote.
So we're saying, is this cooler? Which? Okay, it's the second from the left, right? Yes. Right by the tumbler.
Right.
Yeah. That's cooler than 66.
Yeah.
Look, I mean, seeing it right there, it is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll put it above it.
One seater, though. Okay.
Yeah.
Then now it's number three, Batman Returns. We didn't like the luge. Then Batman and Robin's Batmobile. Then 66 Batmobile. Then Batman Forever.
Mm-hmm. So good. Is
be happy now, Tim.
Is Bane like? How much thinking can he do? Because it seems
he can repeat like every seventh word back to you.
I feel like it's always the last word.
He can drive
Bane.
A car really well.
Yeah, he can drive a car very well, and I assume fly an airplane.
He's like Hodor.
I don't think Hodor could drive a car.
I mean, he never had a shot.
Fly an airplane though.
Oh shit!
Oh, for sure.
That's a good point. It's a really good point. We gotta rank Bane, the bad guys.
Remember when Bane smashes on the wall? And she's like, oh no, reinforced seal, not good. And then Mr. Freeze freezes it and they blow out the wall and they look down and it's a death drop. And it was that thing of like, man, I can't wait to see what wacky thing they have to get out of this. And they just jump.
They just jump.
That was even when he smashed out the wall, that was Ivy's only move. She didn't plan on getting out of Arkham with him. And why is every jump here, why is there no arc to anyone's jumps? Like, why is it that they're clearly on a string going straight across? There's no up and down on anybody.
That's true for all of these movies, though.
Not to this level. You guys are so blinded
by lies. There's
I just
so
watched
much
all
of
these
that.
Movies with you, Tim, and like we didn't complain about that in any other
one.
We did.
We always did.
We complained about that fight scene.
Yeah. I don't know. The jumps have always been bad.
How does Mr. Freeze's gun work? Is it spraying water that's like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or cold air, or then, just cold.
Through diamonds.
But here's the thing. Well, they're shooting I mean, that makes sense. They're shooting lasers through the diamonds that, like, you know, that's getting all the heat, and it's shooting out that's the cold. Sense, but a couple things. Like, if it's shooting out water, which it seems like, because, like, these people get covered in what looks like ice, right? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then, by the way, how does it work when he's...
always look cool to me.
It looks really cool. Also, the whole, like, you have 11 minutes,
good
which...
Good pun, guys.
I don't... Oh, that's funny. Which I don't know where the science is behind you have 11 minutes to unfreeze someone. Well, but like when
Kevin, actually, I looked this up. You have 11 minutes before your body freezes to death, but also don't forget that there's no oxygen. So you have 11 minutes until your brain is starved of oxygen and can no longer have brain higher.
But
function.
That only takes 3 minutes for your brain to be starved of oxygen. If you're not breathing for cold. 3 minutes, you die. Well, that's true. Coldness does. Whoa, Nick just jumped. That was weird.
No, I was gonna say Nick froze again. He looked like Leisure Suit Larry.
Am I froze?
It's
all the puns.
I wanted to say that one of my favorite parts in this whole movie is Mr. Freeze when he has his gun and he goes, "Okay, Batman, chill, chill, chill." It's like you just needed to say it once, dude. You did not need to repeat it.
That's when he gets into the party, right?
Yeah, and it's just like such a dumb. Like, all right, Arnold. Like, we heard you the first time. You don't need to keep on saying it. We get that there's a pun here. We understand.
Well, just like
one of my least favorite parts of the movie is Batgirl, Robin, and Batman are all together now, and they're just there's no commitment to individual characters. They're all just brilliant out of nowhere.
It would take a computer genius to do this, and Robin and Batgirl are like, we're computer geniuses.
And they just start finishing each other's sentences to figure out this, like, weird trigonometry to, like, unfreeze Gotham using the sun because Robin knows what time it is in the Congo.
Giant space mirrors.
It's just...
Yeah, absurd. The idea that Alicia Silverstone jumped in and immediately knew what the situation was with these mirrors, I would have needed, like, 2 days prep. I would have needed notes. Like, I have a lot of questions. I can't hop in here and it's crazy.
She was going to that school specifically for computer engineering, right?
Mirrors. Mm-hmm.
I also love the thing that right after she kicks Poison Ivy into her own plant, which for some reason then renders Poison Ivy out of the game completely.
What?
Batman and Robin walk up and she's like, "It's me, Barbara." It's like, no, we do this as a living. We know it's you. We know how to look past the domino mask and understand what kind of fucking human being I'm looking at.
There was just a joke immediately after that where they're like, "I guess we'll have to kill her." And then they walk out. Yeah.
Kill her later. We got to stop freeze.
What's up, Nick? Uh-oh.
God damn.
That's an unfortunate one.
He looks so peaceful.
I might have to start my cup, guys. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Yeah, no worries.
It's all good.
Wait, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, Uma Thurman getting kicked into the giant plant that she was already sitting in. What's the reason behind, like, oh, suddenly it ate her?
Why can't she control him?
She controls everything.
It was really weird. For a movie that, like, should be as simple as this, that was a confusing moment where you're like, huh, did that kill her? No, it didn't kill her because they said they have to come back and kill her. And then you see her at the end when she's like in Arkham. It's like, she's so Batman didn't kill anyone in this one. They're all just in Arkham, which is kind of a cool thing, right? But
I did like the Easter egg of going to Arkham and they get Freeze's suit, right? And the Riddler suit's there. So is Two-Faces, which doesn't make any sense, but it's still cool that it's there.
Yeah.
Well, they picked it up from his corpse, right?
To put it in jail? For some reason, and that's what it's going to be. That's where I needed to go.
Do you think that guard was just selling all that stuff on eBay? Like,
for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so a common theme in a lot of these Batman movies has been just horniness, like levels of horniness.
Yeah, yeah,
and I feel like this one, while didn't have anywhere near the Nicole Kidman levels, the play of the whole Poison Ivy character in general was just like so bizarre, where it's like, do we need to make Batman and Robin specifically hornier? I don't know that was a choice that was necessary.
Tim, I don't know how you could say this movie had less horniness. Like, that's like a major plot point of, like, that she's got the pheromones that don't work on Mr. Freeze, and so that's who she's obsessed with now.
I'm just saying it's not as horny as Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, the Batman and Robin horniness right here is at least played out a bit in terms of like, all right, cool, it's because of the pheromones, right? It's not their normal level of we just need to fuck. Like, I need to empty these balls. That's Jesus. How they're used.
Why do you have to, like, there's better phrasing.
That's how they're running around Gotham City.
Can you empty them all out in one go, or does it take a couple goes?
Damn. Oh, it takes a couple.
Good Lord.
So you got that. I do, and like, you know, again, like, not at all fleshed out or whatever, and, you know, whatever, the way they build up this tension between Batman and Robin. I do like if there's things I like in this movie, the end there where Robin is yelling at him and being like, I gotta go, I'll be on my own, and yada yada yada, and there's a Robin signal out from you right now, right? Which again is like interesting on the way Ivy plays against each other. But then Batman using the listen, you said we have to trust each other and that's what I'm asking for here or whatever. Like, I like the way that logical decision plays out to the rubber lips, at which point if I was Ivy, I would kiss him immediately again, or kiss any other part of his body that's exposed.
Yeah, very, very bizarre. Just that, again, that whole the idea that things here do not develop whatsoever. Like, Robin essentially had just turned and said, fuck this, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm tired of this. I finally have the Robin signal. I'm on my own. And immediately, within three words from Bruce Wayne, three lines from Bruce Wayne, he turns back. And it's just,
well, they
it's
were
so
having
sudden.
A deep moment. They were having a deep moment. It, like, he broke through to him, you know?
Yeah,
but it's such a show don't tell thing. It's
The idea that he broke through to Robin after Robin finally said, fuck this. Like, give Robin, like, I don't know, a couple scenes to say fuck this and go off on his own and see what it's like to be on his own and then have Bruce
Andy,
Wayne
they only had 2 hours and 4 minutes to do all this, you know?
That's true.
And they also had Batgirl's whole plot to deal with.
Yeah.
If they if you replaced all the Batgirl stuff with just more Robin stuff, I feel like they could have made that work a little bit better, but they didn't. We're left with what we have.
One, just to go back to the Secret Delights or whatever. Because I forgot about this.
AKA Secret Delights.
Say it slower.
Okay,
Kevin.
Secret Delights sounded right to me. I really like how a lot of this is dumb, but like the weird motorcycle race where for 2 seconds we see all the gangs and one of them is just Clockwork Orange guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I enjoyed that. Man. I enjoyed that That's whole little like, oh,
that
look,
was weird.
There's all these gangs and they're kind of have their own, you know, definition, like their own themes and stuff. We saw the Neon Kids again.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually like the lead of the Neon Kid. But when they walked in, I remember, like, I'm like, this guy's actually kind of scary. Where he's like, my pretty. And then Bane just throws them out, and that's it. That's all we
did. I actually put in the whoop noise, like the cartoon noise of them getting out of there. Like,
there's
three
of those in this movie, and it's just like, why? Like, either fully commit to the we're doing the 66 type vibe or don't. And, like, I really don't appreciate those sound effects.
Well, John Glover, when he's doing the Bane demo, and he's like, thank you for coming, Ununited Nations. It's like, oh, God.
Well, let's back up here for a second. How old were you when you saw this movie?
The first time I saw it, I was like 23.
Oh, okay. So you didn't see when you were a kid. Did anyone see this when they were like a kid?
Yeah.
14.
And you guys were, what was your reaction to it? Like, were you like, this was fucking awesome? Or
I saw it in theaters. I saw it in theaters and I don't really remember. I think I was kind of old enough to be like, all right, that's not a very good movie. Like, I don't remember walking out of this movie feeling stoked by any means.
Yeah. It must have been, then they must have, like, he must have just been thinking 7-year-olds are going to love this movie.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I was 7. I think. I don't know if I saw it in theaters. I definitely saw it afterwards. And I'm pretty sure I loved it. Like,
Kevin
loved
it.
Loved it.
That makes sense.
But a lot of that's tied to the toys and stuff.
Yeah,
like, they won. Like, the toys for Forever and Batman and Robin were legitimately dope as shit.
The toys were dope.
There's no question. So,
another great terrible, awkward scene is where they are kind of in. They're showing off sort of Wayne Manor to Batwoman, Batgirl. Alicia Silverstone.
That's not very PC.
Yeah. Well, no. So, well, that's later
on,
which
line.
Like really, really, that's fucking weird. But I just love where they kind of, I guess, convince her to live there, and she's sort of. It's a scene that you just have to watch again because the amount of weird kind of zoom in smiles of like everybody being like,
I don't really like all this hoity toity rich stuff. It's like, what?
Okay.
Who does it? Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would you? You're from
England. Why does this suck?
So many weird scenes like that, in addition to just weird zoom-ins of people's faces. There's a couple of sequences towards the beginning after the weird zoom-ins of what they are wearing, and they're trying to do like the, I guess, the Guy Ritchie thing that I think of, like the fast motion kind of Edgar Wright, Shaun of the Dead type stuff. But it's, you know, it's the costumes are really, really cheesy zoom-in moments. But there's sometimes where it just like shows George Clooney's face like really zoomed in. And I just don't understand what the thought process behind that sort of directing, man.
All it's of that really just bad. Kind of seemed like they had a lot of different cuts where they overshot it and were just like, okay, let's get a lot of close-ups of a bunch of different things. And they put them all together on a timeline. And they expected that someone was going to go in and edit it at some point. But they're like, they never did that. So they're just like, let's just keep them all in. Because it's like, I get showing a couple key things. And like, I get that the butt is like, and the dick's like a funny joke, you know, and like, it like comes back again. It's like, all right, this is like eye rolling in a weird way of like, why do we need to see the nipples? We know they're there. Like, why do we need to go harder on it? But I loved that stuff because it's so like, it makes these movies at least watchable to hate them for how stupid and dumb they are, where it's like, at least this movie is so bad that it's fun.
I don't understand how Mr. Freeze, when he drops off in the beginning, when he's like escaping with his wingsuit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure. We haven't talked about them sending Batman to space to die.
Yeah, when they destroy the wingsuit and he finally escapes and is like dropping down, I don't understand how that gun is propelling him up fast enough to immediately hit the ground. Right. And fucking
so that was one of the things I was trying to bring up earlier when I was talking about how the gun works. That's where I actually was leading to, where it's like, okay, if it's shooting water out, like, why doesn't it just create, like, an ice barrier for him to land on when he, like, not that it would stop him, you know?
Yeah.
It's just such a weird design where, like, he's shooting down and I guess it's blowing cold air down. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know, Kevin, but it's a cold, cold town.
Also, the place that he was shooting all the ice in, why did it have, like, 5 or 6 giant bank, like, vault doors that were just there and open? You remember? He, like, runs through, and then all of a sudden the ice truck thing, like, breaks through a wall.
That's where
Chris O'Donnell jumps at him and he freezes him, and then yes. Batman puts him in the water, and then the water
turns red.
Yeah.
Fever. Yeah. this movie is a fever dream, but yeah, I love just how, like, the idea that if Chris O'Donnell is frozen, he becomes 5 pounds and you can just lift him super easily.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
Batman's super strong. Come on.
He's a heavy human being, also covered in heavy ass fucking ice.
Yeah, but ice makes you lighter.
Just like, let me just drop you in here.
Like, ice floats in water though. So
how funny would it have been if he drops it in there and it like dramatically falls and cracks. He's like, oh fuck.
Like, oh shit.
Hey, shout out to those two scientists at the end who are having one of those days. You know what I mean?
That it's one of those days.
They hang for approximately 3 hours. Yeah. Just making weird one-liners.
Tim, it was 11 minutes. All right? Or else everyone died. Less than. Or everyone less died.
Yeah. I like when they fall, Batman does this thing where he hangs upside down like a bat, but he does it all awkwardly, and it looks like he's not supposed to be doing it, but he just does it. And I'm like, what is going on? Why is that? It's a fucking movie. Yeah.
The last fact I have for you here is
where we rank the bad guys in Batman's rogue gallery. Currently is number 189, Batman's Joker. Number 2, Phantasm, Joker and Phantasm. Number 3, Batman Returns, Max, Penguin and the Cat. Number 4, Batman Forever, Riddler and Two-Face. Number 5, 66, Catwoman, Riddler, Joker and Penguin. Where do we want to put Mr. Freeze, Bane and Poison Ivy?
I'm going to shock the world right now. I think number 2, because I love Arnold Schwarzenegger so much as Mr. Freeze. Every time he's on screen, I'm like, that's a guy right there, Andy, who's just having a great time earning $25 million for like 6 days of shooting.
And I'll say this, not only is it like kind of entertaining because it's so bad, but I love the makeup. I love the sparkly like face paint.
Sure, that looks really cool.
It looks cool as shit.
There it is. Oh, we're fine. We're fine. Everything's fine. Okay. We're still here.
Is it me? Sorry, who was number 1 and 2?
Number 1 is 89 Batman, Joker. Number 2 is Phantasm, Joker and Phantasm. Number 3 is Batman Returns. Number 4 is Batman Forever. Number 5 is 66.
I think above Batman Returns is what I'd say. Because like, I also, while...
Man, we are split all over the map.
Absolutely ridiculous and in a lot of places terrible. So have like everyone else on this list, you know? And at least Bane, like, I remember being a kid and being like, holy shit, Bane went from being like this little tiny guy to this big old monster.
This is Kevin's argument.
Yeah. What is it? Like,
out of all of Bane.
I just think that
the mask. Oh, it's so cool.
Let's put him. I think we put it for sure above 66. My question is, we put it above Forever? Yeah, I think we do.
I don't think we do because I like Riddler. All the same things we're talking about Arnold, we could say about Riddler.
Yeah,
in the last one.
But
like, I will ask you this. I will ask this, and this is a question for whoever gets this right first gets a candy bar. What killed the dinosaurs, Greg?
The Ice Age.
That is true. As a bad guy, I think that the Riddler and Two-Face plan made more sense than any of the plans we've seen in any of these movies so far. And I think that that needs to be taken into consideration when we're talking about bad guys.
I think that these guys are entertaining to hate bad guys. We watch this movie and we hate them and the nonsense that's happening, but the performance can be kind of fun because it's so bad. But that's not what this list is about. This is about the best. This is Ragu Bagu, a.k.a. Ragu Roga, right? And, like, we need to sit here and treat it with the respect it deserves, Nick.
All Poison Ivy wanted – guys, all Poison Ivy wanted to do was kill everyone. And they got damn close. She tricks – Mr. Freeze into trying to destroy everyone.
And by the way,
that was impressive.
Hold on.
Really don't line up together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but they do.
The only reason that didn't work out is because they had a fucking police body cam on this shit. And which, by the way, I hate when movies do the thing of here's the secret footage we have that I'm going to show you, Mr. Freeze of
Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy, like, here's the proof of this shit, and it's just the same shot from the same camera. Like, why can't they ever make it look like a shitty camera?
Don't they have coverage somewhere? Yeah.
It's just, I hate when movies do that stuff. I hate it.
So anyways, raise your hand if you think they deserve to be higher on the list than 66. Everyone's hand is up. Raise your hand if they should be above Batman Forever.
Nixon. Come on, Nick. Jim Carrey sucks. It sucks watching Jim Carrey overact, and that's what we had to deal with.
You're right.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
It's
more fun to watch Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Andy and Nick's hands are up. Do any of you think it's better than Batman Returns?
No.
I mean, I do. But
Michelle Pfeiffer. Kevin does.
Yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer doesn't make any goddamn sense. What was even their plan?
Kill people.
She was just gonna kill Max Schreck, remember? But she wanted to blow up the department store first. Makes perfect sense. Why did Poison Ivy want to plant raptor flowers?
So that nature could fight back. That made perfect sense. You guys keep making fun of Poison Ivy. But she had a plan. She just wanted to kill all the people so that nature could take back what was theirs. And
how are the plants gonna thrive with the ice people too, though?
Greg.
Well, ice doesn't kill plants.
Ice, yeah, and plants can live in ice sometimes.
Yeah, especially if they're snake plant hybrids.
Right.
Why don't we some haiku in review, please?
Seven syllables in the middle. You need five for the first and last line. If you're not poetic, no need to fret it. Haikus don't need to rhyme. Haiku in review. Haiku in review.
You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny to write your review in haiku form, just like Jules Vuonato did. This movie's not good. Ice Puns and Uma is nice. Now let's go kick some ice.
Hey.
Dakota Lawson says, Batman and Robin. Wow, this is a clusterfuck. I love them batnips. Liz Lawson says, Batgirl, Robin, Bruce. They're one big happy bat fan. What about Alfred? We don't care about Alfred enough, you know?
He survives.
Show my boy some
Everything's
love.
Totally fine.
Some of these I'm not reading. They're very obscene. Let's see. Comics Cowboy says, Arnie and cold puns. Robin wants to fuck a plant. This movie sucks ice. Oh, I like that. It sounds like ass, but it's
That's
ice.
Good.
Yeah. So there you go. Now it's time to rank Batman and Robin. Currently, the rankings are number one, Batman 1989. Number two, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Number three, Batman Returns. Number four, Batman Forever. And number five, Batman 66.
Dead last.
No,
this is at least more entertaining. 66.
Yeah.
66 was a product of its time. This one was the abomination.
In 97, this we didn't know anything.
Yeah, like people love this in its time. I certainly was there clapping. I was like, they nailed it.
Kevin Feige personally thanked this movie for being made.
Showing what
he did. Kevin Feige, the president of Marvel Studios, has called Batman and Robin the most important comic book movie ever made because its catastrophic failure forced major comic book companies and film studios to rethink how they presented comic book based media.
Exactly, yeah, Greg.
I would put this over a 66
for sure.
Yeah.
66 is just so long and boring. I remember even watching it in the 80s when I was a kid being like, when is this going to end? He's just running around a pier with a bomb over his head for like 45 minutes.
Can we put this somehow over Batman versus Superman?
Yeah.
You can.
Remember when 66, when they were on a helicopter just waving at people?
So does anybody think it's better than Batman Forever?
I mean, it's so close.
They're so close. I could go either way on any given Sunday.
Yeah, I just don't like Jim Carrey, so I'd put it over that on just that fact.
See, that's crazy. Anyone else? I would say I don't like Tommy Lee Jones. I feel like Tommy Lee Jones is the one
It's funny because I like Tommy Lee Jones in most of his other roles. That I like. It's like, just, oh, God.
I felt like the whole time he was trying to compete with Jim Carrey. Yeah. And for that, I'm going to put it below Batman and Robin. I can't believe I'm doing this.
Here's what I'll say. It's shocking.
I'll back that up.
I think this movie's more entertaining to watch than Batman Forever because it doesn't care as much. But the one thing that Batman Forever has over all the Batman movies is Kiss from a Rose by Seal. And so you guys need to think about that.
So let's vote now. Who thinks that Batman and Robin is better than Batman 66? Raise your hand. Everyone except for Greg raises their hand. Who thinks it's better than Batman Forever? Raise your hand. And now the rankings Andy and Kevin raised their hands.
Hold on,
Nick's
still deciding.
No, Nick had his chance.
Number one, Batman 89. Number two, Batman Mask of the Phantasm. Number three, Batman Returns. Number four, Batman Forever. Number five, Batman and Robin. And number six, Batman 66. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to do something that has never been done here.
What?
No!
Kind of funny in review. What? There's one more.
Don't do this.
Don't do this, dude. Don't do this, please.
Look. People need to speak. We're going to vote on what the next movie is. No. Either we're going straight to Batman Begins, because when you look at the theatrically released Batman movies on Wikipedia, when you look at that list, it does not include Catwoman.
Because it shouldn't be included.
Oh, my God. Let's do Catwoman.
No,
when you scroll down, a certain amount on the Wikipedia page, it does list Catwoman.
It does.
As a theatrically released Batman movie. Guys. So we got to vote right now.
Stop
if we're
coward.
Watching Catwoman or we're not watching Catwoman.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either, and I really want to go to my grave without seeing it.
Let's go, dude.
Fuck you, Greg. Fuck you,
next week, ladies and gentlemen, we are watching Halle Berry's Catwoman, motherfuckers.
I didn't sign on for this, Tim.
Greg, please put a camera on Jen and just film her reaction to this entire movie the whole time.
I can't wait to see this famed basketball scene. Let's go, man. Let's go.
Wait, you've never seen clips of it?
Same bad time, same bad channel.
I want you to know you left two segments off of the Ragu podcast within a podcast, and you don't deserve them.